We'll be in James 1 this evening, if you would turn your Bibles there with me. This evening, what I want to go over, as you can see in the title of the lesson, is temptation. And I know it's a common term that we use, and hopefully most of us know what it is. But I think it's always good to just reiterate and see what we can learn in looking through God's Word. And to see what the purpose behind temptation really is. And to see why God puts this or allows it to be put in our lives. And to see what should go through our head whenever it is going on. In James 1, beginning in verse 2, it says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." What is the first thing that is said that we should do when we encounter trials? Is our attitude toward trials and temptations a negative thing? See, the purpose here for temptation is not to give us trouble. It really shouldn't even be too much of a hassle for us. Because the driving force in endurance is to have joy. The reason that we do these things is for the outcome. And we will never get a positive outcome if we don't look at it with joy. If we're stuck in a trial and a temptation, and just so we're clear here for the rest of the lesson, the terms for trial and temptation in this context, it's the same word in the Greek, so we'll use them kind of the same. But the purpose behind trials and temptations is to further our endurance. Imagine you're running a race and the coach tells you that you need to run a mile. Yet you've never been on a track, you've never ran before. And he says, for this first day, I want to see how far and how fast you can go. So you're on the mile and you're really slow. You're maybe about 20 minutes taking your time. And what does the coach tell you to do in order to get faster? Does he say, take a break. Don't worry about it. Just come back in a week and all will be better. No, usually a smart coach would tell you that you got to run it time and time again, in order that you can get your body ready and your metabolism set to where you can run that mile faster. And all of that is a matter of endurance. But what happens when we let that trial take over? And we say, I want to take the easy route. And so instead of running that mile over and over again, you start and you get on the track. And then halfway through you decide, I'm just going to quit. Do you gain anything from that experience? Do you gain anything whenever you go into it with the wrong attitude? So what happens when you go after a trial with joy? You say, Coach, I'm going to run that again. I'm going to do my best. And so you run it. And you know that the harder you push throughout, the better the results will be. And so, even though this is more of a moderate example, we can see pretty clearly in a life example that if we don't have a good attitude, nothing good is going to come out of it. And so this is how it starts. It says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." Notice that if it is never tested, it can't grow in endurance. In verse 4, and it says, "And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Notice how we aren't only getting better throughout our trial, but it's bettering the rest of us. It doesn't say to be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing, in that trial. That's a more broad statement, isn't it? And one thing I want us to notice with this is, if we are always stuck on trial by trial, and we can't get our head out of that to look at the big picture, do you think we're growing at all? Do you think the reason that God is allowing this to be put in our lives is giving us the benefit that He wants us to get? And I hope we see tonight, as we're continuing through this chapter, that there is a further purpose behind temptation, behind trials. Continue on in verse 12 of this chapter, James 1, verse 12. It said, Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Notice again, it says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. Now this word perseveres basically means to cut through, to break through. And notice that if we break through the trial, we get approval, and there's a reward. Now, I think it's easy to get caught up whenever it says crown of life. But think of it this way. What does a crown usually represent? I mean, it's something you've attained, something you've earned. We usually see it in royal position where the king is granted his kingship. And notice that crown, all that it is, it's a sign. It says, because you've done as commanded, you've qualified, here's something that, so that other people will know. And I hope that if we ever get this crown of life, and when we do, I hope it's a sign for others. I hope people can see something in us that isn't in the normal person. Do people see how we respond to temptations? When something may go wrong in our lives, do people see how we react? Is it different? Because if we're acting the same as the world, I don't think we're enduring very well. And again, what's the purpose behind these trials? It's to make us more perfect and complete. To lack in nothing. And continuing on. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Notice, we have to love the Lord. Verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself does not tempt anyone. Have you ever heard somebody blame God for a problem in their lives? Is that a true statement? I think it's easy for us sometimes to get carried away and not to think whenever we say things. But clearly in this verse, it's not God who does the tempting. And, you know, if you look in Genesis chapter 3 with Adam and Eve, or 2 into 3, you can see that it's all Satan. You know, Satan's the one that told Eve that the apple was good, and it was Eve who transgressed, falling into the temptation. And so he says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. God doesn't tempt us, but He allows us to be tempted. So verse 14, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Think of a young child in a grocery store. You know, sometimes they see that sweet little treat, maybe a chocolate bar, and their eye catches it. What does that child do whenever it wants that chocolate? Does the child let you know? And what happens when you say no? Do they usually reply calmly and, you know, to say, I'm sorry, I'll ask again another time. What happens when the tempting carries them away? They throw a fuss. And not only that, but they will let people know what they want. And they are not afraid to hide it. And I think it's sad enough to say, and we can all agree with this, but that's us sometimes. You know, maybe it's the technology, it's the money, it's the attention. And we will do anything that we possibly can to get it. And that's temptation when it's working. But not for God. See, we get carried away and we get enticed. We feel a desire inside. And that's not what God wants from us. And again, you run that race and you see the prize at the end, but you decide that it's just easier to quit. It's easier to give in and do whatever it takes to get something than just to be content with what God's given us. You see, if we love God and we realize that what He's done for us is good enough, would we ever really be worried about getting more? Would we ever be concerned about what other people are doing to us? Or we feel like we have to fight back? Know in this previous verse, in verse 12, it says, He will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who, what? Love Him. Is it showing love whenever we give in to the temptations? Whenever we say, Mom, Dad, I'm going to throw a fuss until I get that chocolate. Whenever we see a chance for more money and we decide, I think it's easier to do what's wrong in order to get it. Or maybe to spend time away from church so that we can work on something less important. Some of those things are hard to grasp, aren't they? They're a little hard to swallow. But notice that whenever we use things against God's purpose, it won't turn out better for us. In verse 14 again, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then, when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. How easy is it for us to become deceived? Do we become deceived often by our decisions? Thinking that maybe fighting for what's wrong becomes easier than just doing what's right. And maybe it's because we have a world surrounding us that is always fighting for the wrong thing. Because they have no reverence toward God. They don't see God in the equation. And yet, even though sometimes we claim to love God, we fall into it. This word conceive in verse 15, when lust is conceived, I was looking it up and trying to think of an example that may work for it. And really, most of the time we use this word is for pregnancy. And, you know, you conceive to have a child. And it was interesting that I saw in one of the other definitions, it's the plan or intent. Notice you don't have that child yet whenever you conceive it. But hopefully you plan on it coming, right? Now notice the way the wording works in verse 15. Then when lust has conceived, notice you not only have the desire, but you have an intention. There's a plan going on. It gives birth to sin. So not only have you been tempted, and you have the desire, but you act on it. And what does it give birth to? And whenever it gives birth to sin, it brings forth death. Now, I know that's kind of a stepping stone. It's kind of a ladder there. But I think sometimes we don't consider how serious sin is. You know, you can use these moderate examples of trials, of temptations. But whenever it comes down to it, there's an eternity at stake. And sometimes whenever you see that thing that you want, and you can't help but just go after it, and you lose sight of what God's trying to do in our lives, and what does it do to us? It brings forth the sin, and death's involved. And I don't think there's any one of us here in this building that is usually happy toward the word death. Now, I know for us who have this crown of life, you know, physical death isn't bad. But I hope we're willing to deal with this temptation in the right way in order that we can receive this crown of life and that death isn't a common part of our life. Verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Notice, where does every good thing come from? Does any of it have to do with us? It's all God. And how do we treat the God who gives us all the good in our lives? Is it sometimes hard to treat Him with respect? To give Him the attention that He deserves? And I hope when trials come in our lives, that we can recognize that the more we fight for Him, the more He's going to fight for us. And the reward for following after what God wants is so much greater than anything else. And every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. You know, you think of a light and you think of how the sun casts on something. And how as the day goes, the shadow changes. But does God ever move? There's no shifting shadow here. You know, God will be by your side at all times. And I think that's encouraging. And in verse 18, in the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among His creatures. Now we think of giving the first portion to God as the best portion. We're the first fruits. You know, God created us on the sixth day, and He put something special into us. And the soul that we have been given, I hope we're taking care of it. And I hope that as He gives us the choice to choose, that we always choose Him. And that we know that without a doubt, He is the God that deserves all the respect. And that He is the one that we're going to go after. And just a few examples here in verse 19. It says, this you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And I think we see commonly in our lives today, especially with the people around us, these three things really change a conversation. And not only a conversation, but how people live. is it tempting sometimes to hear something once and without thinking automatically make assumptions? You know, sometimes we don't know the source, sometimes we don't understand the context. What do you think God gave us ears for? Are we supposed to listen? I mean, we want to converse, we want to see what God has put in our lives. But I think we've got to make sure that in all things, He's getting the glory. And included in that is that we have to be quick to hear. The second thing it says, slow to speak. You know, I think it's pretty easy to get an example of someone who isn't slow to speak. We all know that person. They just say whatever comes to mind. And usually what they say is pretty vulgar. Does that make us comfortable to hear stuff like that? You know, to hear things that make us uncomfortable? And then to ask, how do you think God feels around that? Do you think He wants us to get into the temptation of saying whatever we feel? Or should we take a step back? And slow to anger. You know, the interesting part about anger, I think above all three of these in a way, is how much it can not only affect a specific situation, but how it can affect a lot of things. And maybe you get angry at something and you decided to act on it. And there are consequences. You know, if that little kid keeps pleading for this candy bar, and it gets angry, do you think the parent is going to deal with that? What if we get angry with God? Because what He says doesn't make sense, it's not the easy path. And we say, God, I just don't want to do this right now. I hope we know that God's going to discipline us. Because of verse 20. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Notice what all of this is about. It's to be righteous. To be one with God. And I hope that's intriguing to us. To be one in heart and soul with the same one who gives us all good gifts. He allows us to endure. And allows us to mature in what we are doing. In verse 21 it says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to what? Save your souls. And I hope we see that throughout our lives, we're given these things that don't make sense all the time. And sometimes the trials definitely aren't easy. But I also hope that we know that there is a word here with answers. And with a God behind it who is strong, who is perfect, and who is able to give you any of the good gifts that you might need. And more. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. And I want to end tonight, and I know the passage continues. But I want to end just by saying that we have a word. And I hope that as we walk out of this building every time that we come, that something is gained. and that we see the power behind God. And that whatever happens in our lives, whatever temptations may arise, that there's a reason. And there's a God behind it willing to help. But we've got to love Him. We've got to receive it with humility. And we've got to fight the good fight. Because I hope this reward of being in God, being with God in heaven, is so much better than anything here on earth. Because even Jesus, when He was being tempted, in Matthew and in Luke 4, He was offered the world by Satan. And even then, He couldn't step down. And I hope that if Jesus says that it's worth it, Paul says that it's worth it, James says that it's worth it, we'll see it too. And if you are struggling with anything and there are temptations in your life that you feel are out of your control,